Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 3rd.
Happy December, Brian.
Now, I've been told that you opening that water can did make it on air.
Really?
Yeah, the people can hear.
Well, I started.
So I thought I would say water can a couple of times just before it happens.
It's a passion fruit water can. Well, I started on top and then I put it under the table, but I don't know if it
As so many things in our life, it's too late.
My apologies. It's one of many. If that's the worst thing I do today, I'm having a great day.
Oh no!
If that's the worst thing I do this minute.
Another thing in the broadcast career of Macaulay. Papa Top. at least Alan Jackson has a song. Yeah. How you been?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, moment by moment. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of how we have to live life, right?
All right. Do you want to break in a new letter or do you want to finish up an old one?
I want to finish up an old one.
All right.
Because I like finishing.
Killed by inches. Where do we get the... How do we come to adopt the phrase "killed by inches"?
I've seen 49er games that have been killed by inches.
The allusion is to various ways of prolonging death by torture.
Oh boy!
Still goes with the 49ers thus far. Okay.
Yeah, well, and especially not this year, but the years before.
Procustus is, I guess, how it's pronounced. Bed stretch men to death. The iron coffin of Lisa had a lid which was lowered slowly but surely down inside the coffin until ultimately it crushed the victim.
Oh, humanity.
Yeah, yeah. Probably should have gone with the other one, huh?
Yeah, whoops. Yeah. So much for finishing up a letter.
And look, on the first page it says lager beer. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll have to have my passion fruit sparkling water.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the other things we're supposed to have squared up this month? We haven't heard anything about tax reform. We've had one foot nailed down, politically speaking, and everybody running in circles.
Yeah, I think we are not really seeing substantial new tax law. There are little things that have come through on other levels, but for the most part, the tax law for 2019 was what we expected it to be. They are who we thought we were, or they were. What is that?
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Anyway, the point is, the tax law we have not seen, as you point out, to a large degree, due to other distractions. Really, Congress hasn't really spent a lot of time on those issues. And
should they be? Are there those lingering things that we have talked about routinely in December?
There always are a few. There are always a few things hanging out there, extender type legislation items. There's not a lot that really needs to be dealt with that way. The problem is every time something gets done, then something else gets done.
The ripples on the pond.
And look, it's all, what I think's good, somebody else might think is bad, and vice versa. We all have our own. We all come from a different perspective as we look at changes in the tax law, how the tax law sits today, what might occur in the future. All these things are, subjective and based upon.
Well, sure, your reference points.
It is, yeah. And if your concern is how business is going to be going, then you're going to look at tax law and you're going to have a different perspective, than if you're more worried about other issues. And so it just depends where we sit. So at this point, I don't think we're going to see much in the way of tax law activity. I don't think there's much that needs to be done in terms of extender activity. I think it's really. It's shocking to me. Still, we're in December. My body clock—that's
an age thing, man.
My body clock doesn't.
Congress doesn't have anything to do with that one.
It doesn't feel right. So. Yeah.
But pretty much, last year is this year.
Well, no, there were things that were going to transition. So there are some things that are going to be a little different as they roll out. But yes, for the most part, that's probably an accurate statement.
See, things to listen for when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Billy, looking at some of the different things that are out there, you said that there were some latent impacts or indicated.
Yeah, there's just some things that, when there's a tax law that gets passed, and some things happen immediately, some things get phased in. And so there are things, and then other things are being phased out. So that, you know, things just transition. As an example, let's take the solar tax credit. You know, some people put, as we all are aware, people put solar arrays on their roofs, and depending, and there's a whole continuum. And I am absolutely not qualified to speak about solar systems other than in the most generic of terms. But
Mercury, Venus, Earth?
Yeah, right.
Mars.
And
Yeah,
that's probably as qualified as I am.
You did hear about finding, was it carbon, Winston, on Jupiter's moon, one of the Jupiter's moons? There was some, or condensation. I mean, it was like they found water or the elements.
I love the Pabst 9 shrug. That was awesome.
Yeah.
A radio shrug. Well, I don't know.
All right, fine. We'll have to stay tuned for the next newscast.
So as an example, circling back to the solar systems, there's a tax credit for that. And it's going to be phased out over time. So as an example, this is the last year it's at 30%. I think next year it goes down to 26. And now I'm not entirely, my confidence level is
starting to get on the edge of the ice flow.
But the point is it goes from down 26, 23 or 22. Anyway, it's going to be phased down over time. So people who are trying to get their solar systems done this year, and I talked to some clients who wanted to get them done by December, and we kind of went through what the rules were about how those. So the point is, things are always changing based upon things changes in the law. There are some other issues about there are a series of things that are going to be a little bit different about health care, and one of the changes that's coming is California has got their own healthcare system coming onto play that's going to affect tax returns next year. And so, you know, we've got these things that are the pot boils a little bit, but for the most part, if you look at 2018 and 2019, for the most part, you know, if you itemize deductions in 2018 and things didn't change, you're probably going to itemize deductions again in 2019. On the other hand, you may have itemized deductions for California purposes, but you didn't make it for federal because of the change in the standard deduction. And that's probably, you know, in general, if things don't change much, you know, you can expect that you're probably going to get a similar treatment this year that you got last year. Now, if your income spiked or your income dropped, that could drive other limitations that might mean that things aren't exactly as they were a year ago.
Well, that was with the stock market hitting all-time highs and having, a growth year of significance mm-hmm. for a lot of stocks. Does that change anything?
Not in and of itself, but there are follow-on impacts. So as an example, if I own 1,000 shares of XYZ company and the value goes up during the year, if I don't sell my XYZ company's stock, there's no tax impact. All I did was theoretically my paper wealth grew in that calendar year. If, on the other hand, because it's a mutual fund and the mutual fund grew in value and they had a certain number of transactions, and when they do, as an example, when the mutual fund, when people buy or people sell out of the mutual fund, sometimes they have to sell the underlying securities. So when they sell the underlying securities, that can create, that wasn't me, that can create.
That was Apricot.
Yeah.
How'd you like it, everybody?
You know,
yeah.
Passion fruit still on the sideline over here. The point being that these things, I kind of lost my train of thought because I'm now thinking about Apricot.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't even know where I was. So how's that for?
So with some of the sales at mutual funds.
Yeah, thank you, mutual funds. So the point being, in a year where the value went up, but there's people redeeming amounts out of the mutual funds, there are capital gains that are realized within the fund, and those get distributed usually in early December. And so in some years, you can get this big spike in capital gain distributions that occur in December. And it's hard to plan for because you don't know necessarily. Now, sometimes your broker can look ahead and go, yeah, they're expecting it's going to be bigger. It's going to be along these lines. But you end up with a limited planning window for being able to say, what are we going to do? Because now we got this spike in income associated with the capital gain distribution on mutual funds. So I guess my point with regard to the market going up is, it generally creates good problems, but sometimes it can create there can be some other issues, and it simply depends. I mean, if I have a highly appreciated security and I sell it, then I'm going to have a capital gain in 2019. And right now, capital gain rates are pretty favorable. And so, you know, for a lot of people, that can make a lot of sense. There's actually a 0% capital gain rate for federal purposes if you fit into a certain income level.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So the point being, all that stuff is hard to plan for because if you have any other moving parts in your income and deduction picture, you know, sometimes we'll have a client come in, they'll say, well, we want to do this, we want to do some year-end tax planning. Well, we basically end up doing their tax return for them at year-end because there's so many moving parts and we're trying to dial them in and we're trying to look ahead and say, what do we think the rest of December is going to have in store? Do we know can we predict what the business income is? If it's a rental, we're probably pretty good at it. But otherwise, it could be challenging.
It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. But looking at what we should be doing, 5 minutes on personal, 5 minutes on business.
Hmm.
Go.
Okay. Let's talk business first. For businesses, it's really imperative that you have your record keeping. Hopefully, your record keeping is in good shape and in current condition, where you have a really good bead on where you are here as we step into December, because it enables you to make decisions based upon rather than perception based on actual reality of your financial condition. So, of course, if your record keeping is in arrears, then you may not be able to catch it up that quickly anyway. But the point being, it's really good if you have got good financial information to understand where you stand year to date. And, you can take your income, look at it, and interpolate, okay, what do we think the rest of the year is going to look like? How much seasonality, you got to consider what basis of accounting you're reporting your income on. If you're on the cash basis, you have different concerns than if you're on the accrual basis. But the point being, it's a good to start with a good foundation of knowing, hey, we've had a good year. and we maybe need to do some planning to understand, okay, what what kinds of things we want to do. One of the things you might do from the business realm, this is the time of year where businesses consider bonuses and incentives, and so that's a good time to begin thinking about that. If you are other concerns or areas where people do a lot of last minute planning on the cash basis, it's controlling, you know, it's making determinations about what you want to spend before the end of the year so you can have the deductions. And on for all of us, we consider, are there fixed assets we should be buying? Are there equipment that we need? Technically, that equipment should be acquired and placed in service before the end of the year. So you want to go ahead and get that in the house and get it up and running. The value to that is that, you know, you can upgrade some things maybe that are, you know, you can see a need coming. Sometimes you just jump the need a little bit and get and take care of the issue. You know, depending on the nature of your business, it may be a truck for your plumbing business, or it may be a maybe computers, you know, or technical equipment. You know, we can all imagine those things that we put into place. And generally, we're talking about bigger things, because generally we're talking about trying to save some tax at a higher level. On the other hand, you got to understand the nature of the business you're in and your business structure, your entity structure. If, as an example, you're operating as a corporation, you need to understand federal corporate tax rates, 21%. It's flat. Under the old days, it was a graduated structure where there was a 15% bracket on the bottom. So the planning can be different. If your income is going to be $75,000 for your corporation and it's coming to the end of the year, you know, you may be actually pay a little more tax than you would have under the old law. But if your income is going to be $200,000, you're going to pay less. So those are things we have to be thinking about, is what do you want to do? Sometimes when you acquire equipment, you ultimately have a decision about whether you're going to write it all off in 1 year or the next, you know, or write it off over future years, because the tax law does provide some flexibility with bonus depreciation and Section 179, which allows immediate expensing of equipment purchases. So sometimes people are doing those things, and then a decision gets made after as to how aggressive the treatment will be for the deduction, depending on what's needed and what kind of optimizes the particular tax situation.
For somebody who started a business this year, or, you know, like with the marijuana guys, you know, it kind of almost became legal this year. A little bit last year, but this is the first full year on.
Well, it's not.
Okay.
Legal is that different still for tax law and than it is for. Keep in mind, the federal tax law's view of legal is different than the state of California's view.
How does that play into this stuff?
It does. And candidly, I don't really do cannabis work. So I'm not. There's a lot to know. I know enough to be dangerous. If I was going to do work in this arena, I would spend more time educating myself on it. However, there are some limits about what you can actually deduct, and California is looking at changing those. But for federal purposes, as I understand it, you can only deduct your cost of sales. So selling expenses would not qualify as a deduction. And for California, if you're in a corporation, you can kind of, as I understand it, you can deduct not only your cost of sales, but your other selling and administrative expenses. So it's a little different. And California's, as I understand it, is going to make some changes in that. And I don't know that it's 2019. It could be 2020. I'm not sure.
So that's one that could come in the next couple of weeks or so.
It could. And the point being that, and who knows, there who knows what's going to happen. Right now, the tax law is kind of punishing on the federal side for that business that is legal in California, but it's still, as we know, a listed narcotic, or that's not right.
Schedule one.
I don't remember drug. And so as a Schedule I drug, you know, we don't, it is not federally legal. It presents problems for banking purposes. There is a SAFE Act that's been passed in Congress on that issue, and we'll see if that, I think it's on the House, but I don't think it's made it through the Senate yet. There are a number of areas on the cannabis realm that are out there. It's been fascinating. My wife and I go to Oregon quite a bit, and the hemp fields were ubiquitous in Southern Oregon this year. It was really fascinating. So the business standpoint, there are it's know yourself and look at the playbook and see what you can do in terms of trying to, you know, maybe you're happy with where things stand and you're willing to pay more tax because you think in the future rates are going to go up. Everybody's got a little different perspective on it.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Billy, we kind of touched a little bit on the business side. What about the personal side for income tax anticipation?
Well, you know, I'm going to kind of cast aside people who have a small business or whatever. We kind of talked a little bit about the business piece. Just talk about the rest of us who, you know, who report our income from our earnings or our investments and whatnot. Right now, we have a bit of a window, which is we have the rest of December to do certain things before the opportunity to do those things goes away. One of the things that, one of the easy and obvious things is looking at our itemized deductions. And what we have to do is understand where are we with regard to our itemized deductions, because they often, we've got some of our clients that we're using bunching strategies with to try to say, hey, we're going to bunch the itemized deductions every other year and take advantage of a standard deduction in the year in between. And what that means is because the standard deduction is $24,000 plus, the itemized deductions, if your total itemized deductions come to $22,000, the $24,000 standard deduction is going to be there, or and it might be a little higher depending on where you fall. But the point is, you can use the standard deduction for federal purposes. You're not going to get any benefit for any of your itemized deductions. Now, you still get it from California, and California's got a high tax rate, so that, you know, there's still some bang for the buck. But if we can bunch them and say, okay, I'm going to do charitable contributions every other year, and let's say you do $5,000 a year. So, you put them and say, okay, I'm not going to pay the $5,000 in year one. I'm going to do it all in January the next year, and that's my bunch year. Then instead of having the $22,000 of federal itemized deductions, maybe I have $17,000 this year. But the following year, I'm gonna be, you know, I'll have $30,000 of itemized deductions. And you know, so the idea, we can do that a little bit with charitable contributions. That's an easy place to try to do some bunching strategies. The other place that you can do it is with tax payments. Could be with medical too, depending on the timing of when you make payments. But for tax payments, there's an additional complication, which is the $10,000 limit on state and local taxes. So depending on what your income is, what your taxes are, your state income tax, your property taxes, etc., a bunching strategy may not render anything if you're over $10,000 in both years. There's no bang for the buck. And so, as always with tax law, it kind of depends where you sit and what your situation is. And so people are looking at those kinds of things and trying to make decisions. How do we do that? The other thing that people will be evaluating is contributions to their Roth IRA. And you can do that up until your IRAs, up until the due date of the return. Also health savings accounts. Again, those run up to the due date of the return. So there are some things we can carry over and play with as we get closer to the filing date. If you're a person who is getting a subsidy for your health insurance through the exchange, then managing your taxable income can be very important, because the amount of that subsidy is based on the expected income for the year. And if you've had a spike in the income, that can create a lot of noise in the numbers. And we end up working really hard trying to help people get through that.
Well, good. Nice to know you're working hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Hard worker.
Enjoy your water.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.